You're tuning into The Night Visitor. This immersive podcast contains mild language and graphic violence. Listener discretion is advised, and please take care while driving. In a Dark Wood, Chapter 1.
Shame or death? Which is worse? Can all sins be forgiven? Or are there some souls beyond redemption? In tonight's episode of The Night Visitor, six weary travelers are about to find out in a dark wood. Having nothing better to do, the sun rose once again to blast its pale wintry light onto the ice-crusted mountainscape. It was a frigid oblivion that provided little shelter to Captain Brockhauer and his men, just five, hard-worn soldiers from the Wehrmacht's 1st Mountain Division. Captain Brockhauer stopped and lifted his palm without turning.
Halt!
Brockhauer raised a monocular to his eye. Up ahead, the Cursed Mountains. That's what the locals called them anyway. A jagged cluster of peaks jutting toward the sterile sky like a set of crude knives. But there was no turning back now.
We'll rest here, then push on.
We might as well commit suicide.
Brockhauer briefly glanced back at Jürgen. He and Dietrich had shown more allegiance to their military canines, Uta and Bruno, than they had to their fellow soldiers since fleeing Belgrade. Brockhauer assessed the rest of his men. Ravenous, with thoughts of deer or rabbit doubtlessly dancing through their minds.
That's enough, Jürgen. We go west to reconvene with our troops in Montenegro. We're cut off from the south by the Commonwealth in Greece and by the Russians to the east.
The Russians took Belgrade from us while we ran like women.
Our armies were overrun, Dietrich. We did what we had to do.
Yes, feel free to go back to Belgrade, Dietrich. I'll take my chances in these mountains over the Russians any day.
Ludwig, the eldest, and sour-faced as always. If he weren't their medic, Jürgen would have killed him in his sleep. He had probably spent more time saving his own skin than anyone else's.
Ugh, Ludwig. Spoken like the traitor you are. Dietrich and I would rather die next to real men and starve to death with the likes of you.
Not only Russians. Also, the Bulgarian Second Army drove us from Belgrade. And of course, the 13th Yugoslavian Corps pushed us back from the Morava River and cut us off from our regiment. Scattered like seeds. Quite ingenious.
Brockhauer regarded the youngest of them. Gottesman, rattling on as he often did. He'd lost his senses in Barov 2 years earlier, but there was no one sane enough in this war to send him home.
Did you know that Belgrade was built on an ancient Roman city? Indeed, it has been occupied by Celts, Goths, Huns, Ottomans.
Shut up, Gottesman. No one is in the mood for your rantings.
That's enough, Jürgen. Mouse, how is that radio coming along?
Mouse? A small, bespectacled young chaplain shifted uneasily. Of all the things he should be left in charge of, fixing their radio communications. A prayer for their souls would have been more effective, if any of them still feared God.
I can try, Captain, but my hands are quite cold.
Should we get you and Gosman a blanket and start a fire, Mouse? Or should we hold hands and pray, you fucking coward?
There was a movement in the trees, a flash of white. As if in unison, the men all turned their gaze toward it.
Uta, Bruno, Fuss!
Jürgen and Dietrich tightened the leads on their German shepherds. But Brockhauer could see it was they whose teeth were bared, their eyes given over to instinct, alert and wet with violence. Then, something out of the corner of Brockhauer's eye.
There! Captain!
Ludwig pointed to a slender girl in a white nightdress, hair wild from the elements. She was barefoot, running 100 meters off from them, halfway across an icy slope. Brockhauer noted a streak of blood across the front of her white nightdress. Jürgen and Dietrich, were fiendishly fixated on the girl as she hid and peeked out at them from behind a tree. She couldn't have been much more than 12. Brockhauer took a single step forward and raised his arm to initiate his command. But it was Jürgen's voice that called out.
Retrieve!
Jürgen and Dietrich had released their canines and were scrambling in pursuit. The girl fled as Uta and Bruno skidded across the icy slope, but Brockhauer knew they would reach their prey. He felt an unfamiliar pain in his chest. Panic.
I want that girl unharmed! Move out! Go, Bruno!
Go, Uta!
Good boy!
The dogs were across the icy slope now and leapt beyond it into the heavy snowpack. Jürgen and Dietrich were able to catch up to them as they labored against the weight of their ammunition packs. Jürgen watched the girl make her way further up the incline. Impressive, he thought. But still, he and Dietrich had spent many cold winters in Austria, mere boys chasing down rabbit in the thicket. This would be no different.
There she is, entering a pass up ahead.
Dietrich had caught a glimpse of her white nightgown. On flat ground, the dogs would close the distance easily. He glanced over at Jürgen's smiling face.
We have her now.
Out of the way!
Brockhauer pushed past them. Not bad for the old man, Jürgen thought. He and Dietrich doubled their pace and then...
Look, Dietrich, there's a wall. A village ahead.
I see it, Jürgen. But what is that super girl doing climbing it?
The dogs set their jaws upon her and easily took the girl down by her legs. Brockhauer reached them within seconds, but it was too late. He flung the dogs off of the girl as Jürgen, Dietrich, and the rest of his men came upon the gory scene. Jürgen and Dietrich's faces contorted in anger as they retrieved their dogs and replaced their leads. In their minds, their canines were soldiers in their own right, doing their duty. To treat them so, it was unfathomable.
Ludwig, the girl's badly hurt. Carry her inside.
She's a dirty gypsy. Don't we have our own men to worry about?
Finally, Ludwig might prove himself worthy of more than a flogging.
I'm your captain, Ludwig, and that's an order.
Forgive me, captain, but we're in the middle of a war.
This war is nearly over, Jürgen. Don't worry. As for this predicament, we wouldn't be here if you had any self-control. She's a little girl, for God's sake. Now, which one of you will carry her inside? I suppose I must do everything myself, then.
How did we miss this village, Captain?
Don't you see, Mouse? It's hidden. Ringed in by these treacherous mountains, they blot out the very sun.
It looks as if it was lost in time, but perhaps abandoned.
Well, this girl must belong to someone. My name is Captain Brockhauer. We are members of the 1st Mountain Division of His Führer's Wehrmacht. We have a girl. One of your own. She's injured.
Not abandoned after all, it seems.
Yes, Jürgen. Just uninterested.
We mean you no harm. This girl must have medical attention immediately. Her parents... You, there at the door. Old man, does this child belong to you?
Perhaps, Captain, they don't speak our language.
Then out of our way, old man. We're starving.
Jürgen!
There's nothing here. What is this?
Check the pantry, Jürgen.
Perhaps we could ask another way?
Why interfere, Mouse? Jürgen and Dietrich seem to be doing a fine job.
Get off your lazy ass and help us search, Ludwig. You too, Mouse. This isn't your grandmother's village in Bavaria.
The old man approached Brockhauer and silently took the girl from his arms. Brockhauer gently helped him set her down on a chair by the hearth. Indeed, how were they surviving? Brockhauer saw nothing more than broken crockery and rags for bedding in a small adjacent room.
Ludwig, you will dress her wounds now.
But Captain, we're starving.
No!
As you wish. Though I'm not sure why we would waste good medical supplies on a mongrel. Captain.
What is it, Ludwig?
Extraordinary. Her wounds are already healing.
Feel her skin. She's burning with fever. Mouse.
Yes, Captain.
You studied linguistics at the seminary, didn't you?
Well, I studied Latin, Aramaic, and I know some regional Balkan languages.
What's she saying?
I don't know, Captain. It's very unusual.
The snow's getting heavier, Mouse. We are stuck here for the night, but if we can communicate with them, maybe we can find out where their food is.
It could be some kind of local dialect. I'm not sure, though. She's mumbling. Perhaps Albanian. Mixed with Sinti or Roma. I'm not sure.
Ludwig, what's your prognosis?
I don't think she'll make it through the night, Captain. If her wounds didn't kill her, the fever surely will.
The poor wretch.
Then I shall pray for her. Almighty everlasting God, the eternal salvation of them that believe, hear our prayers on behalf of thy servants who are sick, for whom we implore the aid of thy mercy.
Jürgen, would you look at this? Mouse is praying for a bunch of dirty gypsies.
That old heathen doesn't even know you're praying for his filthy little brat, Mouse.
The old man calmly laid a cold rag on the girl's forehead. He dared not meet Dietrich's eyes, as the soldier leaned in close enough to breathe on his cheek.
Or maybe he's a Jew, Jürgen. Only a Jew would be too stingy to pray for his own child.
Does imagining her to be a Jew or a gypsy make it easier for you to kill children, Dietrich? Or is it something in your own nature?
Is this from an officer of the Wehrmacht? Do you hear this, Jürgen?
Captain, with respect, Dietrich is right. We are starving, and yet you defend these animals instead of the Reich.
Listen, the both of you. I've made and broken hundreds of better men than you and led them to their deaths in this filthy war. Don't speak to me about the Reich. There are no men in the Reich. We are all that's left. The radio can wait, Mouse. They must have a store of supplies somewhere in the village to get them through the winter. We'll pair off and search house to house. Ludwig, you'll stay with the girl.
With all due respect, sir, we are wasting our supplies on a corpse.
You'll do as you're told. The rest of you follow me.
Jürgen and Dietrich exchanged a bloodthirsty look, but Brockhauer was too busy watching Gottesman, who was staring out the front door, lost in his own world. Brockhauer approached him and gently laid a hand on his shoulder.
It's cold out, Gottesman. Put your gloves back on.
The village square was barren and eviscerated by disuse and time. Only a peculiar old church bell lay partially buried at its center. Here, Brockhauer leaned back and wearily chewed on his unlit cigar. Jürgen and Dietrich emerged empty-handed yet again and moved on to the next hovel in disgust.
I don't know what will kill us first. Starvation or mutiny?
He sensed a change of pressure in the air, but knew it had less to do with the blizzard now bearing down on them from the east than the crushing darkness that steadily increased with the hunger in his men's eyes. And throughout it all, the villagers watched on, betraying no emotion as their homes were ransacked. Inside one such cottage were Gottesman and Mouse. Mouse was busily looking about the cottage, inspecting the walls and behind the furniture for hidden compartments. After all, it was all too common in this war that families hid valuables, weapons, even their own neighbours in such places. Meanwhile, Gottesman slowly made his way around the cottage as if he were a patron casually browsing an antique furniture store.
You know, Mouse, the Visigoths first invaded the Balkan Peninsula in 268 AD. It was only after their defeat in the Battle of Nessus that they retreated from the region and became known as Arians, a branch of Christianity that was in opposition to the Catholic Trinity.
Yes, yes, Gottesman, now please, stop talking and make yourself useful. What's this under the floorboard? A book.
Outside, the villagers turned their gaze towards the cottage as one. Brockauer's eyes narrowed.
What's this, then?
Jürgen and I have found nothing useful, Captain.
Dietrich is right. No food, no supplies. How do these people live?
Captain.
What is it, Mars?
A book. I found it in one of the cottages.
A book, Jürgen. Mouse has found the book.
Is it a cookbook, Mouse? Perhaps we can lick the pages.
It looks like a history of the village, perhaps a sacred text. There are illuminated pictures, like a Bible might have, but it isn't religious as far as I can tell, Captain.
I must agree with Jürgen, Mouse. How is this going to help us eat? Even if this storm lets up, it may take us days to navigate out of these mountains.
You want to know about their language? Find out how to communicate with them?
Of course, Mouse.
Well, then look. Aramaic lettering. Their language is a combination of some Roma, yes, and certainly Albanian, the local language, but it contains a great deal of Aramaic, which is highly unusual.
But will you be able to talk to them?
Perhaps. I'll try to speak to the old man, but it seems they are in... worse shape than we are as far as food, Captain. The tome is probably their most valuable possession.
What's this picture here, Mouse? Like some kind of plague.
Here's what I think of your book, Mouse.
As a book hit the ground, a village man lunged for it. Dietrich quickly crushed the villager's hand beneath his boot.
Is this what you want, Untermensch?
Dietrich picked the tome up and tore it in half. A ripple of shock went through the crowd, as if something in the villagers had been torn as well. Jürgen picked up a rock and went to the rusted old bell.
Food! Understand, you heathens? Food!
The villagers recoiled in pain, turning away and covering their ears. Mouse took note of it, a severe reaction to the common sound of a church bell. Dietrich ground his foot further into the villager's hand. But it was short-lived. Brockauer grabbed him from behind in a chokehold.
Release him.
Now, Dietrich.
Jürgen nearly started for Brockauer, but remembered his place. Reluctantly, he signaled Dietrich to lift his boot off the villager's hand. Brockauer released his chokehold and snatched up the severed tome as Dietrich glared at him hatefully, chest heaving. Brockauer ignored him coolly.
Head back to the cottage, Mouse, and rebind the book after you finish fixing the radio.
Yes, Captain.
The Reich should have retired you, Captain. You were once a hero to soldiers like Dietrich and me. I watched you receive the Iron Cross from the Führer himself. Now you're just an old man gone soft.
Get yourself back to the cabin, Jürgen. You're done here.
Come, Dietrich.
There are no forks or knives here, Captain. You know, the fork was only introduced to Europe in the 11th century as a novelty and only came in common use in the early 1800s.
Yes, Gottesman. Show me what else you found and we'll follow the others in a bit.
Mouse hugged the tome closely as he stared in dread at the wooden post outside the old man's cottage. Still fastened to it were two dog leads, empty and abandoned, in a blanket of gently falling snow.
Dear God.
His stomach sank, and a deep chill ran through his bones. Surely there would be hell to pay, and he wanted no part of it. A sound broke his concentration. Mouse retreated to the doorway as Jürgen and Dietrich arrived. By now, he was used to their brutality and stayed out of their reach. But as they took in the scene before them, their faces contorted in such a rage that Mouse was sure he would not be safe for long.
Where are they?
I don't know. Jürgen, I've only just arrived myself.
Out of the way!
Tonight's episode of The Night Visitor, In a Dark Wood,
was written and produced by Peter Stass and Blarima Tapali. It saw Jonathan Tyndall as Captain Brockhower, Joshua Kaknich as Gottesman, Oliver Palmer as Mouse, Andrew Falaise as Jürgen, Chapman Hyatt as Dietrich, and Chris Harkham as Ludwig. Music by Josh Allen. Sound designer and sound mixer and additional music, Bailey Math. Dialogue editor, Christopher Barrick. Sound engineers, Ben Connors and Gaston Martinez Acosta. Special thanks to Randy Hudson at Voxport Studios. I'm your host, Annabelle Kappa. Until next time, sweet dreams.